Chalicto, Doc Popular, Yo Yo Wiki Radio Podcast on Yo Yo Radio Wiki.
Yeah, you're listening to another episode of Yo Yo Wiki Podcast. My name is Dr. Popular. With me, as always, is Josh Parker. Josh, how are you?
I am fantastic. And we've got an extra special guest co-hosting with us this week, and that is Steve Brown. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm cleaning my house and being helpful to my wife because she's pregnant and angry.
Oh, that's classic.
Is that like a causative thing? She's pregnant, thus she's angry?
Yes. In fact, my doctor warned me about this. He said there's a specific hormone that is released into the woman's bloodstream that causes homicide.
All right. So that's where homicide comes from. I always wondered.
Yeah. Steve Brown will be on the episode of Cops, actually, later on tonight. So,
it's been a busy week in Yo-Yo. There's been a bunch of Yo-Yo videos put up this week. Have there been any? I know there's been hints of new Yo-Yo releases, like the 888. Has there been any Yo-Yos released this week?
I think that that crazy like $90 metal looping Yo-Yo did get released this week.
With the accelerator?
No, the Ixion or some sort of
the Ixion wheel.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, so what do we think about that?
I haven't seen a picture of that. I should pull it up.
I saw a picture of it, and it looked like a hacked Silver Bullet 2.
It sort of sounds like it's going to look like the mag wheel. I'm going to pull it up here. Oh, no, nothing like the mag wheel.
No.
Yeah, and what would come from those grooves on the outer profile, I wonder?
I don't know.
Problems would be my guess.
Yeah. I'd like to see a shot of the inside to see what it's running for response. Because it doesn't seem to say here. Recessed silicone.
Okay, recessed silicone.
On a looping yo-yo.
I was really surprised. I played with a pair of Sunset Trajectories that Joseph Harris had tweaked. Actually, Mr. Yodel had tweaked and given them to Joseph Harris. And they were recessed silicone, and they were great. I was really surprised. It seems to go against everything you'd expect. But recessed silicone and trajectories makes for a great looping, like a really consistent product.
Yeah, somebody else was, Hans was telling me about that. He got a pair of those very same yo-yos from John Higby. And he says they're amazing.
Yeah. However, this looping yo-yo doesn't. I mean, without trying it, obviously none of us have tried it, but doesn't really look like it would be fantastic for looping. However, the laser graphics are nice on it. The individual numbers and the flame job on it.
Yeah, it looks all right. I'd be interested to play with them, but I don't know who's going to pay $150 for a set of looping yo-yos. They can't be that great.
That's the rub on that. I think that's just from a pure marketing standpoint. Like, I really don't even care how well they play. The idea of somebody being expected to throw down $180 for a pair of loopers in a market where there are barely enough 2A players to sell Raiders.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
No, that does remind me though. You guys remember the accelerator?
Yeah.
I've got a pair too. I just found one this morning and started playing with it again. So it's really kind of funny seeing this. I kind of liked my accelerator. I mean, I do now that I do a little two-handed. I just really wonder. They're totally different shapes. One is that the very square-looking shape. That's the Ixion wheel. And the accelerator is more of that of the Duncan Imperial, the slimline, I guess, design is what they would call that. And
the straight gap design?
Is that what they call it?
That's what they want them to call it.
Yeah.
It's an imperial.
Yeah.
Shaped like an imperial.
I was very diplomatic. I said imperial shaped. Imperial, Duncan Imperial shaped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's shaped like a flop. It's shaped like a bad design that hasn't been revisited in over 50 years.
All right. Well, we know what Steve thinks.
God, I hate Imperials. I really do. They're just so foul. Butterflies you can at least kind of work with, but Imperials are just hopeless.
Now, do you mean literally like Duncan Imperials, or do you mean Imperial-shaped Doyos like a Raider?
No, I mean literally Duncan Imperials.
Okay.
I actually have one amazing pair that Stan Zygo like drilled and tapped an axle so that I could put wooden Spintastics axle sleeves in them. Oh, they play brilliant.
Whatever happened to that guy?
He's still hanging out. He's got 3-4 kids. So it was one of those things where, you know, it got really hard for him to kind of keep up with the yo-yo scene and keep making it out to contests and stuff. But I'm going to try and get a hold of him and try and get him out for Northeast Regionals.
All right.
Yeah, I think he's on my MySpace page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somewhere.
I'll look buried. For that.
I remember, like, a year or two ago, him popping back up on the board and saying, I'm still around, getting back to yo-yo in. And then, of course, he never posted again after that. But he was the one with the two kids that that were kind of a lot like his father, right? They were, like, shaved heads or mohawks and stuff.
Yeah, Nick and Stan Jr.
Yeah. And Stan Jr. is the one who told you to bring a Coke to him.
What he actually said was, "Go get me a Pepsi, woman."
Sweet kids.
Yeah, he was an amazing kid. It was great that he was able to read it clearly off of the cue card that Doc drew for him.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah, that was at Mid-Atlantic Regionals, and that was by far one of my absolute favorite moments at a yo-yo event. Ever, because he just said it so perfectly. The other one was there was a kid in the Philippines. I was having a little question and answer session with a bunch of people at a demo, and some little kid raises his hand and looks at me, and he goes, "Your name's Steve Brown." I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "How come you're white?" Awesome.
That's great. Remember one time Doc was doing a show, and he accidentally hit himself in the head with a Diablo. And then after the show, he did a question and answer, and somebody was like, "Hey, can you do that trick again where you hit yourself in the head with the Diablo?"
There's a couple kids that said that. It was like 3 questions in a row, and I actually had to say, like, "Are there any more questions?" And all these hands went up, and I said, "That don't have to do with me hitting my face with the yo-yo." And everyone's hands went down. There was no more questions. That's all that everybody wanted again.
All right, but awesome. You know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time for the podcasting sensation that is sweeping the nation. That is right. It is time for Name That Yo-Yo.
Woohoo!
Name That Yo-Yo!
Name that Yo-Yo.
I've got my yo-yo ready. Can I go first?
All right, go ahead.
Now, Steve, just to go over the rules with you, basically, once we just throw the yo-yo and try to get it to make sounds, and if nobody guesses it on that time, then we give a clue. So here we go.
Whoa.
That's me obviously thunking the yo-yo. That's not.
It's got a really cheap sound to it.
It sure does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a larger bearing, so I'm thinking it's not a Metal Zero. What do you think, Steve?
I'm going to go with a yo-yo jam product.
Yeah, that could be.
Any specific?
Like an ex-convict?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say ex-convict.
Yeah.
Ex-convicts from both of you guys?
Yeah.
No, that is incorrect.
Mm.
All right, so here's the clue. It's funny that you would mention that this is a cheap yo-yo because, in fact, at the time, I believe this was one of the most expensive yo-yos that was made. So it's very funny. I will say that the name of the yo-yo... I'll just mention that the company that made the yo-yo sued another company and lost.
I'm going to guess it's an SPR cold fusion.
No.
It's a stock Cold Fusion.
No, it's a Golden Fly by Customio. This was a gold plated. The Fly, I don't remember the non-golden version, the name of this, but these things are super freaking thin, and basically they said that all the physics that says that heavy rimmed yo-yos will spin longer, if you actually take away all the weight, they say that you'll actually get kind of a similar effect, because they say it takes a lot of energy to move a lot of weight. So if you make a really super light yo-yo, you'll actually be able to keep it spinning for a long time as well. So that's what these guys are trying to do, and I can't even guess. I'd say it's like 50 grams or less, but it's gold-plated. Very nice.
Wow, that's incredible. Where did you find that yo-yo?
This is just one of the remnants that I've been cleaning out. I'm getting ready to do a big eBay auction starting on Wednesday. So starting when this podcast goes out. And the Golden Fly, and I'm actually going to sell a Samurai as well. And quite a few other kind of rare, like Inyo yo-yos and stuff like that at my accelerator, probably.
I love the Samurai.
Yeah?
What a piece of crap.
I've got a pair of them that I use for AAA.
Well, here's
and they haven't broken on you?
No.
They are not durable yo-yos.
Oh, man, mine have taken a beating, and then some. I've got number 666 and number 18, which is 6 plus 6 plus 6, so maybe all the evil is keeping them together.
All right, well, I'll go ahead with mine. Mine's kind of an interesting one that came out while I was cleaning my house as a result of moving. That doesn't make nearly as much noise as I thought it would. Can you hear that?
Whoa. That was a neat sound.
I hear plastic rims separating from a body.
That's what it sounds like to be caught.
Huh.
I was expecting a lot more fluttering to be going on. When I threw it earlier, it was very, very noisy.
It's generating a lot of freaking wind.
It sounds like something with like rubber O-ring rims that are separating from the body when you.
Here, let me give it a flick here.
Damn, Josh, what are you doing?
Wow, I can't even make a guess on that. I always think that you're throwing a fast whenever I hear that much wind being generated, but that it doesn't have that like big teeth sound.
Yeah.
I think it actually sounds like it has small teeth. But Steve is saying that he thinks it's got a moving rubber ring in it or something. I'm gonna go with him, and I'm gonna say the Exodus.
Okay.
Yeah. My guess is either gonna be an Exodus or a Henry's Lizard.
Ooh, the lizard.
No, you're on the right track with the Exodus, but it is not an Exodus.
I think I know what it is, but I'll wait and hear.
Not too much on the right track, but this yo-yo when spinning looks very blinky. That's kind of your clue.
Is it a it's a Omega.
Yeah? You think so?
So it's either a strobe or it's that new monstrosity.
Holy crap, I got that wrong. I don't even know what I'm throwing here. It's not a Omega, in fact, and it so it's nothing like an Exodus.
It actually doesn't even have blinking lights. That's just my VCR.
Oh, well, maybe it's one of those Brits and Pieces rubber-rimmed off-string yo-yos from Australia.
No, it's...
No.
It makes a fairly decent looping yo-yo.
Torch?
Yes, that's what it is.
Wow. That's
surprising. And it's a small starburst on the inside, and it's got... There's no open air. I'm just surprised at how much wind it seems to be generating, considering that like a strobe yo has kind of like defects on the surface that seem like it would make it a little... Anyway, yeah. So, Steve, let's hear your
All right. I'm not actually at my computer. I'm using my little Skype Wi-Fi phone. So I'm going to grind it on the body of the phone. So hang on a second here. Could you hear that?
to an extent, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on. Let me try this. How was that?
Well, from the sound it's making against the phone, it sounds like it's plastic on plastic. Josh, do you agree?
Yeah,
with that?
I think so. Yeah.
And we could be way off on that, but plastic yo-yo. I'll say it's a silk.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer, yes.
Yeah, so, let's go with that, yeah.
It's a 888.
Whoa.
Yep.
Well, that's
there you go, the official podcast debut of a yo-yo that you can't see.
Wow, I'm a little jealous. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the 888? I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Since Ben hasn't made his formal announcement yet, I don't want to steal his thunder or overstep my bounds or anything, but it's got Hubstacks. It's got the same weight distribution as a G5, but, you know, from the pictures that are floating around. have you seen the pictures on Yo-Yo Nation?
No,
I have not.
Somebody got one as they returned their Grind Mutant or Grind Machine 2. And, they were out of stock of them, so they offered him one of these as a replacement on the condition that he would keep it quiet. So, of course, he immediately posted pictures on the Internet. You can see a picture, and it's a significantly more rounded, almost more traditional butterfly shape. But it's got that same crazy rim weighting as the G5 hub stacks. It's... sickeningly comfortable in the hand.
Yeah,
it's got a big bearing, which I'm still not really a fan of the big bearing. I really prefer like the medium, like Bumblebee Duncan sized bearing. And it's got really thin recessed silicone in there for the response. So it's unresponsive as all hell, but you get really, really tight binds with it. And again, I'm still not even really crazy about silicone response. Like, I like Paul's ghost pads, but I'm not, the whole flowable silicone thing is still kind of lost on me. But I'm slowly getting used to it. I'm trying to cranky old man cave and see what these whippersnapper kids are.
Now Paul's got those, the silicone O-rings, which I've just got some and I haven't gotten a chance to try, but looks cool.
Oh, we've got O-rings now, too.
Yeah. Then they're Yo-Yo Jam size, so you can just pop them right in a Yo-Yo Jam.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
That is neat.
All right. So your 888, and it's got the same finish on it as the silver G5. Same color and that same really slick coating. I don't know if it's Teflon or what. And I'm assuming these are production models, but, you know, I don't get many details from them, and I try not to pry too much because... you know, don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
They're sending me free yo-yos. I'm just going to fucking throw them.
Steve, have you seen the new Brazilian videos, the promos for the Brazilian Nationals?
No, I saw that that Red made a post about it, and I just haven't had time yet today to download them.
They're fantastic. He's got some professional video commercial producers. Are making the videos for them. So they're like shot in a studio, and the camera kind of pans around. It's not on a dolly, but anyway, it's panning slowly while the performers are doing stuff, and it's got Red on there, and it's got Whip and some other guy who I'm not really familiar with.
This one that I'm watching right now has a spinning Silver Series de bomb or cherry bomb.
Nice.
And that's the whole commercial, is it's spinning to death.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. One of my old flames. I miss that company.
Yeah?
Yeah. Gil Losey Sr., the guy that owned it, was hands down, I mean, just easily one of the coolest people I've ever met, and definitely one of the best bosses I've ever had. You know, they were just a really neat company. I mean, it was the sort of thing where everybody was there and working there because they loved it. And, you know, on the handful of occasions that they flew me out to the office, it was, you know, like we would stay late working because we had come up with some idea or something and we were all so excited about it that we didn't want to stop, you know? So, I mean, you know, here you had guys who, you know, went and punched out at like 5:30 and then stayed until like 9 o'clock. You know, we went and got like takeout and some beer and then stayed in the office like working on CAD drawings for stuff because we were having a good time doing it. You know, it's just not an environment you find very often.
That's cool. This kid Yo-Yo Boy Ant always instant messages me. Apparently Yo-Yo Nation has milks. Thanks for the update.
Is it Yo-Yo Boy Ant?
Yo-Yo Boy Ant, very specifically. Yeah, but there are a few good videos posted this week. Drew Tetz has his archery style, you know? Did you see that one?
It's not archery style. Archery is just the name of the it's all chopstick stuff.
I think he wants to call it a style.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a cool video, though. Have you seen that, Steve?
No, not yet. I'm really bad about watching videos. I've been practicing so much lately that I've been trying to make it a point not to pay too much attention to what other people are doing because I'm constantly worried that it's going to taint what I'm doing. Not taint, that sounds negative, but like I'm constantly worried that I'm going to, that, you know, right now I'm in the middle of like working on a lot of new tricks and I don't want it to be derivative of what's going on at the moment.
All right.
So I don't want to color what I'm doing with other people's styles because I'm watching a lot of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, after the World Yo-Yo Contest, you need to be sure to check out archery. It's a pretty well done video.
After you win the World Yo-Yo Contest, yeah.
Oh God, here's hoping. I'm actually probably going to post my routine for Worlds the week before Worlds.
Nice.
For a couple of reasons. One, it's too late in the game for anybody to steal all my tricks. And two, I want to make sure the judges actually know what the hell they're looking at.
I don't
mean that to sound snide, but like the tricks are just so damned weird looking that like if somebody just showed up and was doing all that, you know, for me, I would have a hard time. You know, I would have to spend a lot of time after the fact, like kind of looking at it and going, okay, well, yeah. And that counts, I guess. Like, it's really weird-looking stuff, you know. And I don't know. I mean, Boxthor seems to have a bit more faith in me than I do, but I figure, you know, I stand about as good a chance as anybody. If nothing else, I hope I can make a pretty strong impression. So we'll see.
Now, Steve, let me ask you a question. If you have so much new stuff, and I know you're saying that you want the judges to be able to understand it for what it is, but if it's new stuff, you know that, like, I mean, we saw several people win nationals solely on the fact that they had new stuff, or even worlds. I mean, Red's first world-winning routine with that one-handed butterfly thing and the super magic helicopter. Those were largely what won on the routine, and I think if people had seen the tricks in advance, they might not have scored them quite as high. Are you worried about like that happening, like that you lose that surprise that really wins you a lot of points?
But I'm not sure that the audience being surprised is really going to change my scoring. You know what I mean?
Well, I would say it did for you know, Johnny Duvalier, and especially for Red. When I saw the second place routine the year that Red won first, there was really no question to me that Red won purely on the fact that it was new stuff. Because, I mean, he landed less tricks and was moving much slower, and he just must have gotten, like, 20 clicks for Super Magic Hyper Helicopter, because there was, I mean, I don't know, like, it seems to me that he won purely on the fact that it was all new stuff, and judges always seem to reward that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
not intentionally, but consciously.
Yeah. And to some degree, I mean, I could definitely agree with that point of view, but at the same time, you know, like when Johnny showed up and won Worlds, and when, you know, Raphael showed up and won Worlds, the stuff that they were doing was, you know, if like on average you see things that are like the next logical step evolution of a style, they were doing something that was like two steps or three steps. What I'm doing is a complete sidestep. So I don't know if it's really an evolution so much as a deviation, but I'm doing a 3-minute routine without a single throw.
I just don't even know what to think about that.
Exactly. So, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like in order for people to really appreciate it, there needs to be at least some advance showing of it so that people at least have time to kind of screw with it a little bit. Because I think that, you know, the stuff is just so weird looking that you can't really... I don't know if you can really appreciate it without at least having a little bit, you know, a little bit of time to try it yourself, and then you go, "Oh, wow, that is fun," or "Oh, this sucks and I hate it." But I don't know, and my logic on that could be completely wrong. I'm kind of new at this whole "I'm coming out of retirement" thing. I kind of feel like a dick, honestly, but it's just, this is the first time in years that I've really genuinely been, you know, excited again about playing yo-yo and coming up with a lot of new tricks, and I just kind of want to try and take advantage of it. Figure I got one more go in me, and then after that, I'm just not going to give a crap anymore.
Well, we look forward to that, to you not giving a crap anymore, at least.
Yeah, it'll be great. Hey, Steve, what did you think of...
Shut up.
Give me a beer, woman.
Woman, give me a doc.
H-Spin announced the impending release of the Envy. I think they posted that yesterday on various web boards.
Haven't they already released the Envy?
No.
No, they announced it in November.
Okay.
And then, like, was it like 4 days later or something, Yo-Yo Factory announced the G5.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, "What the hell?" And then Yo-Yo Factory, like, bam, you know, had the G5 out, put out the silver ones, put out another run of silver, put out the black ones, put out the Sabotage, put out the Grind Mutant. Like, they're just cranking this stuff out. And H-Spin's just been like, "Yes, it'll be coming in spring."
And it will revolutionize yo-yoing.
Yeah, see, I'm not as down on the descriptions and stuff that they've put up as you are, Josh. I still think they're ridiculous, don't get me wrong. But the thing is, you know, I've hung out with enough people from Switzerland to understand the general, like, the tone of the language is very different and the word choice is very different. So I think while you're seeing it as arrogant, I'm just seeing it as Swiss.
Okay, I could see that. I'm just thinking that, I mean, they said that it would have infinite finger grinds. Infinite finger grinds.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that.
I could not imagine them saying anything that is more hyperbolic than that.
Well, have you met Chris Kyatt?
I have not.
Have very slim, ladylike fingers.
I have not met him.
No, Chris is a great guy.
I'm sure.
He's actually really, really humble about his stuff and spends a lot of time, like, obsessing over it and, like, worrying about it and... You know, you compliment him on it, and he's like, "Oh, thanks, we'll do better next time."
And I don't mean that to fault the yo-yo, because I'm sure it will be a fantastic yo-yo. The pyro, I mean, should be the standard for metal yo-yos. I mean, everything should be compared to that. So I'm sure the yo-yo will be great, just this hyperbole.
I know. But, you know, you've got to calculate in, you know, like odd translation. And just, you know, I mean, you're talking about Swiss and German, which are just the word choices are very, very different. You know, when I was actually in Germany, the company I was there with was a Swiss-based company. And the way they spoke just baffled me constantly because, you know, when they were speaking to me in English, they were saying things that were outlandish and made no sense. So,
had a German exchange student for a while, and my favorite quirk was that he would end every sentence that was a question with the word "or." So he was like, "Should we go get hot dogs or?" Because he was looking for you to reaffirm his I don't know, choice or whatever.
Actually, Josh, hot dogs are actually mined in Germany. They actually they're when he says "or," he means "ore." Should we go get hot dogs or? You know, so that, you know,
that was a long way for that joke, Doc. It wasn't even that far, but it was still a really long way.
I'm kind of reaching on that one there, buddy.
I had to go to the Eastern Bloc for that one. Okay.
So I got a neat package in the mail today.
Oh, yeah?
From Yo-Yo Fargo, Mr. Matt Tomke or something like that, and his bungee string. Have you heard about this stuff at all?
Bungee string. I've got some of that. That's fun stuff.
Yeah? I haven't gotten a chance to try it because I literally got the package as I was sitting down to start doing this. But it's really stretchy.
The bungee string is a totally synthetic string. There's no cotton in it. And it's uber long, too. It's maybe 5 inches longer than a normal string usually is. And that elasticity can really add up. If you take it and hold the yo-yo in one hand and, you know, the string is attached to the other, if it's kind of semi-taut, you can stretch it probably an extra foot. So it's got a lot of give. So if you're doing like ELA hops or whatever, it takes a lot of getting used to because it's just literally springing up and down and the string is expanding and shortening and stuff like that. It's kind of fun, but it's also kind of dangerous because sometimes it'll react in a way that'll make it bind prematurely.
Oh,
like
sure.
On a throw, like it'll bind almost like you throw it and you're about to catch a trapeze, but it kind of freakishly binds and, you know, comes back at a really scary velocity. So, but yeah, it's fun. It's fun string to play with, especially for freehand, for counterweight.
Well, speaking of that, I got a call from Mike Burke today from Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
And he apologized for the rudeness of the lawyers and said that he wished that it could have been handled a different way, you know, whatever. But he said that they're calling off the witch hunt on the word freehand. Him and the lawyers and stuff like that have talked, and they realize that they've got very little ground to stand on with that.
Oh, look at that.
I had a conversation with the lawyer right after our show Thursday, and he said he had never heard of anybody using the term, you know, prior to 2000 or something. And so I sent him copies of scans of magazine articles that cite the term before the freehand yo-yo came out. So.
Now, was that Dana Roberts that you talked to last week?
Yeah, it was Dana Roberts.
Okay, because that motherfucker never called me back.
Hey, you want to know something funny?
Yeah.
In the 7 years that I was working at Duncan, I could never get him to call me back either.
All right,
you know, after my first date with Dana, I couldn't get him to call me back either. So. But he was my cousin.
Zing.
Zang.
So you had a good conversation with him, though?
It wasn't like terribly good or anything. It was just like he seemed honestly interested in whether or not it was sort of common termage. You know, I could have tried to talk him like, you know, in the beginning, like, you know, like, if people use this term, it's going to be more free advertisement for your yo-yo. But I didn't talk to him like that. I was just like, I'm just curious. Like, you know, it seems to me like this has been out, you know, in a certain way. and you're retroactively changing the name, or, you know, patenting the name. And he said, well, just send me an article or something, and I did, and I didn't hear back from him, but that's good that I mean, you know, because counterweight is just kind of a, I don't know, it's not what Steve called it, and you shouldn't only call it freehand style if you're playing with the freehand. You should be able to call it freehand style if you're playing freehand.
Right.
So that's cool.
Right.
You know, and it's probably better for them to focus on things that are more meaningful, like trying to maybe, you know, retain the Imperio and Butterfly name, and definitely making sure that, you know, that they remain or retain the name freehand for the freehand yo-yos, but just not for the style.
And I also found out that at the same time that Duncan was in that lawsuit for the word yo-yo, they were also in a lawsuit for the word butterfly.
There was the same lawsuit.
It was part of the same lawsuit, but they won the butterfly portion. So they do have definitely that, even if they just had to re-register it in 2000 and everything like that. They definitely have grounds to defend that copyright or that trademark.
I'm not 100% on that, because I mean the fact that they left it alone for so long, mm-hmm. and the fact that you can go out, you know, you can blind order butterfly shaped yo-yos from Infinite Illusions, like any two dozen of them, and I guarantee more than half of them are going to reference that it's a butterfly shape somewhere in the packaging.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that's been spread out so thin across the industry that I think that, you know, I think they'll be able to keep it, and I think they'll be able to defend it for no other reason than I don't think anybody else has the money to, you know, for lack of a better term, throw their dick on the table and start a pissing match with them.
Right.
You know. I mean,
but they did win that lawsuit, and that is a big point, you know, a big strong point for them, so.
But it wasn't Flambeau that won that lawsuit. It was the original Duncan company.
That's true, but that still transfers. I mean, it's...
It does transfer, but there was a 2-year period of time in between, because Duncan went under in 1966 and Flambeau started the line back up in 1968.
Okay.
And then, you know, even though they did win a lawsuit, at the time the Duncan company was like actively protecting that trademark. And
okay.
It was somebody that challenged them. And then you've got Flambeau, who wasn't actively protecting that trademark for a long time, and now all of a sudden is. It's one of those things that trademarks can get watered down and they can be lost. I doubt they're going to lose it, because I doubt anybody's going to really put up a fight over it.
Right.
But, you know, if this is an industry that actually had any money in it, then, you know, somebody might actually, so I think somebody would actually have a chance to go after them.
Sure.
I mean, look at the Fast 201 packaging when Hasbro put it out. Did it say butterfly in there?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't have any, but... I don't have any of the packaged ones from Hasbro handy, but I'd be willing to bet it probably did.
Even if, I mean, if somebody wanted to, they could probably go to some of the trick books from the 70s, in which Duncan itself would describe the two basic shapes of a yo-yo being either an Imperial or a butterfly, when they're not even referring to the specific, you know, because they had several yo-yos out at the time that were butterfly-shaped, but they themselves refer to it as a style of yo-yo.
Yeah, when this whole thing started happening, I went and dug out a bunch of old Duncan catalogs, and in their own catalogs, they were referring to it as a shape.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. I'm just still shocked that, I mean, my letter didn't say anything about butterfly shape in it.
Here's the thing, is I think that they were just running Google searches.
But, like, the page that on Yo-Yo Wiki, the shapes page, I mean, very clearly says Imperial and Butterfly, like, right next to one another.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not, from my time spent there, I can say that the corporate offices are not known for their attention to detail. Let's put it that way.
Understood.
Although, you know, in their defense, it does seem like they're trying to change that, and good for them, they should protect their business assets. But, you know, they should also be a little smarter about it.
Yeah. So I guess the Samurai Tour videos are going to be up soon.
How ironic is that?
It really is. It just really is. Just like the timing, just everything about it.
Oh, man. I really hope that Mike and Jack had themselves a good hearty belly laugh over that.
Well, I don't understand. Why is that ironic?
Samurai Yo-Yo. We were talking about it earlier.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the reason the videos haven't gone up yet. It's because Super Yo basically cock-blocked them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, and it, you know, when they first, you know, named the whole thing, I was like, oh, that's funny. I wonder if Arnie's paying attention. And then just recently Jack posted, you know, that thing about, we've had some trademark issues, and I was like, holy crap, look at that.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good move on their behalf.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, they're so viciously trying to, you know, protect, not viciously, but, you know, so enthusiastically protecting their trademarks and then also paying no attention whatsoever to other people's.
Well, as we previously discussed, it doesn't sound like they're really paying too much close attention to their own anyway, but...
No, not particularly.
Yeah,
so I think that the Samurai video is going up is awesome. I think that the video itself, I don't know if it's really worth buying, but as a free video series, I think that's a great idea. You know, watching some guys go somewhere and yo-yo there without really making it kind of like a yo-yo video, but more of a video about them going somewhere. That's interesting, but I don't know if I would have paid like $25 or whatever the DVD would have cost. But I might actually, you know, check out the DVDs. I just hope that that they don't just do this thing every single day, you know, like where five different people post 3 days until the Samurai videos and like nobody responds because people aren't really that enthusiastic or they already know because it's been posted every day. But there's the thing that like, you know, like Jack does and stuff like that, where they just really try to like work up this enthusiasm, but it's not even like the yo-yo community gets excited about a new yo-yo, but like we don't often get excited about anything else. Like if somebody comes out with a new shirt, we don't like sit there and do countdowns. And,
well, it depends on who comes out with the shirt.
Yeah, I really, I think
if Crisco comes out with a shirt, everybody's excited.
I think more than anything, it was a matter of people weren't impressed with the tour journal from the Samurai tour.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I went and read it, and it was, you know, I think it was just too brief of a thing to try and, you know, take that same kind of Viking tour approach. Because, I mean, the Viking tour was a month.
Yeah.
You know, and when you've got that much time to spend on something, you can afford to weed out all the uninteresting bits because you've got so much stuff going on. When your tour is only like a week and a half, was it like a week and a half?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. It's like, you know, a week and a half, that's building up momentum, you know. By the time the whole thing gets on a roll, it's, you know, you're heading home. You know, I read through them and I was just kind of like, looks like Jack went shopping. I don't know.
Well, I'm guessing these videos probably don't have daily rants by Steve Brown telling us how weak we are for not being wherever he is and doing whatever thing he's doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you look at that footage, and that was, like, way at the end of the tour, and we were, like, punch drunk by that point. Like, we were all sick of each other and exhausted. And, I mean, you know, if you really pay attention to the DVD, the promotion failed. You know, that footage of Felix in the empty mall, yeah, there were a lot of days like that.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and we hit that point where it was, you know, we were punch drunk and we were around each other 24/7 for an extended period of time. And when you're on the road that long, yeah, you build up a lot of momentum with people.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the videos yet, so I can't really say, but it just seemed like, you know, it seemed like a really quick road trip. So, like, you know, just reading through the tour posts, like, I didn't get very excited about it because it didn't seem any different than, you know, like going through somebody's Flickr account to see them going to Midwest regionals, yeah. You know?
I mean, just the very beginning of it, like they said that they were going to have a big secret announcement for any groups that met on a particular day. And like, oh, so you're going to do something that we're all not going to do, and we all met to find this out. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the thing something that was,
Yeah, the thing that was weird to me about that is they made this, you know, big deal of this is going to be the announcement, and then when they announced it to all the clubs, nobody bothered to hop online and tell the rest of the people.
Well, I made a video. I mean,
it was this huge announcement that never made it back onto the message boards.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this week. What do you think?
Yes.
Sure.
If anybody's interested, do we have a place where they can check where I can put my eBay link for my auctions going up?
Sure.
Like, schlichto.com, or you can go to drpopular.blogspot.com.
Oh, you're going to put it up on docpop.blogspot, right?
Yeah, maybe, but that's not my yo-yo, you know, blog, but whatever. I'll see if I can get, like, Seth and them to post it on the yo-yo 2 blogspot.
So there you have it, schlichto.com, docpop.blogspot, stevebrownismyhero.blogspot, yo-yo 2, blog.yoyo2.com, and other plugs as well.
yoyowiki.org.
And of course, yoyowiki.org, which is the reason that we are here.
Woo! And for crying out loud, let me insert this plea for people to contribute to the wiki. Because, you know, I mean, history is written by the winners, and we are all inherently losers. So for crying out loud, let's not be losers with bad syntax and grammar and misinformation. Something. I don't know. I should have started drinking when we started this.
Well, you heard it here first. It's been another great episode of the Yo-Yo Wiki podcast. It was great to talk to you guys. And until next week, keep editing.
Bye, guys.
Bye.